All right, Hannah Stanley out here on WGN filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. Thanks so much for listening, joining me as I try to get him to do as often as possible is my friend Johnny Olesinski, entertainment writer with the New York Post and theater buff, and currently joining me from London, England. Are you getting there early to get a good seat for the wedding?
Well, I'm going to try. You know, over at Windsor Castle, the confines are a bit smaller than if it were at Westminster Abbey or St. Paul's Cathedral, but I want to get a nice seat up front.
Yes, 57 days and counting, but who's counting? Just me. Why are you in London, sir?
I am in London for the Olivier Awards, also known as the British Tonys.
Oh, you know I'm a huge fan of the Tonys.
You are, and this is much the same. It's, if anything, it's a little more balanced between the plays and the musicals, but there's still going to be splashy performances from all the shows that are nominated, and big ones. There's one that starts with an H that I think some of your listeners might have heard of.
You know, I think some of my listeners might have heard of a show that starts with H from you when I sat on the air telling you that I thought you were ridiculous, that Hamilton was going to be a success. One, I was incredibly wrong. And two, it has opened in London. Tell me how it was received. I know they were balking a little bit at the cost of tickets.
Well, can I tell you how I received it?
Yes.
So I went about a month ago, and I was really nervous because I talked to a lot of friends of mine, and even people in the theater, which they totally remodeled for the show. And a lot of people in Britain don't know anything about the American Revolution. They know what happened. They're not thrilled about it. And
they're not sure. They definitely don't like the turnout.
No, but you mentioned Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and these people that, you know, American kids grow up worshiping, and they don't really know who they are. So the fan favorite is King George. So when King George comes out, the crowd goes wild.
Well, one, I love his parts. He has, three solo songs, and they're amazing. And I will tell you, the kids love them. All of my kids, my nephews, everybody loves the King George pieces.
They're like great 60s pop songs,
yes.
Except sung by a dead king.
Yes, yes. So how many nominations did Hamilton get from the Olivier Awards?
Hamilton, I believe, is either 10 or 11. It's not a record, and... So sometimes what happens there, as happens here, is there'll be a surge of national pride that defeats what we think will happen. So, you know, Hamilton is the biggest musical in New York probably since A Chorus Line, and around the country since A Chorus Line. And so we're expecting it to dominate. But what could easily happen is a show like their revival of Follies at the National Theater, or a show I loved about a 16-year-old drag queen called Everybody's Talking About Jamie. Those are, you know, very British shows, very British productions that might upset Hamilton a little bit.
Follies is Sondheim, correct?
Sondheim, yeah.
Okay.
And they take just as much ownership of Sondheim in Britain as we do. They love those shows.
Of course they do, because they deal with things that aren't typically musical fodder. So Sondheim is a lot more melodramatic and actually dramatic. You know, let's talk about murder, Sweeney Todd. Sure, let's do that. That's fine. let's sing about cannibalism. You were just, as you mentioned, in London for what? A whole theater jaunt where you got to see a lot of things that might be coming to the States. What were your favorites?
So my favorite, as I mentioned, the one that could upset Hamilton, is a show called Everybody's Talking About Jamie. And it is based on, it's sort of like it's a Billy Elliot for 2018 with a lot of the politics removed. So it's based on a documentary about a working class boy in Northern England. Sounds like Billy Elliot so far.
Very much.
And he wants a job, and the job he wants is to be a drag queen. What's great about it,
that's
though,
where it differs from Billy Elliot.
That's where it differs from Billy Elliot, though Billy Elliot has its share of drag, too.
Yes, and still dancing, yes.
Oh, yeah. And so what's interesting is his mom is actually very supportive single mom, and the community isn't, you know, they're kind of over the gay thing, just as most of England and much of America is. But it's mostly his internal demons, so, you know, the kind of nervousness that a lot of gay people still carry around. But the lead performance, this guy, John McCrae, who's, you know, tall as a beanstalk, he is perfect. Great voice, tons of sass. Your heart really goes out to him, and the mom as well, Josie Walker. I think that there's a great chance that will come to Broadway.
Really? How soon do they usually cross over?
It can be, you know, sometimes it can be the next season. Sometimes it can be a couple years. Harry Potter is opening on Broadway at the end of the month, and that opened, I think, a year and a half or 2 years ago in London.
Mm-hmm. And you were a big fan of that.
Oh, I loved it. It's great.
Okay.
It costs a lot. If you're taking a family of five to Harry Potter, that's your year.
Really? Is it like 200?
Parts.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So what else can we look forward to, and what else should we save our shillings for, especially Harry Potter, which once it's in Broadway and successfully entertains American audiences, we can expect a touring company. Chicago tends to be very frequently the second stop, or even having our own cast here, like a permanent cast, as Hamilton does. Do we expect the staging for Harry Potter is very expensive, very elaborate, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, in terms of set, that's the interesting thing about Hamilton, right, is even though it's this juggernaut and so many people love it, when you look at the staging, it's really not all that mechanically elaborate.
I have this scrap wood in my garage. I could stage that in my garage this tomorrow. Yes.
That's right. You go to a hardware store in Hamilton.
Yes.
But then Harry Potter, as you might imagine, they didn't go low budget and simple. You know, some of the effects in that show, I've never seen anything like it. So moving it around will be a bit more complicated. I do think there's a good chance Chicago will get its own production.
Okay. This is exciting. I loved Harry Potter, all of the books. And so this is something I definitely look forward to. Now, is this it doesn't actually recreate the books, isn't it its own story?
It's a whole new story. So it's called Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And when I first read the script, I was a little bummed out, and I wrote as much. And part of that was, you know, a lot of it's not written by J.K. Rowling. It's her idea, mm-hmm. and she supervised it, and she's very involved. But it was written by a playwright named Jack Thorne, and a lot of that, like, witty, you know, the observations J.K. Rowling makes are not necessarily what the characters say, but what she observes. Mm-hmm. That was gone. And then you'll have stage directions that say, you know, magic ensues or whatever. So I was a little peeved. And then when I went to see it, I went, oh, you filled in all the blanks with great stagecraft. The guy who directed it directed Once, among many other kind of beautiful shows. And you see that ingenuity and the heart he always pours into things. But yeah, it's a whole new story. Harry is now 40. He has
joined the club, Harry.
Right. And so he has kids, and his kid has to live in the shadow of Harry Potter, and that is a bit of a strain. He's also not extraordinary, right? Because Harry just went around being good at everything, even when he didn't try really hard.
Right.
And this kid's a bit less naturally gifted. And then he becomes besties with Draco Malfoy's son.
Oh, of course he does.
Drama, drama, drama.
Which, of course, means it is successful on the stage. So we can look forward to that opening in New York. So tell me again how much those tickets are per person.
They're actually not awful. So you can get seats, I think, for as low in the balcony as maybe $20.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's not terrible.
And then downstairs it gets, you know, there's always those premium tickets that cost $500, but I see most around $200.
Okay. And so you can, I mean, a family of five, it's $1,000, but you can save for that. That's like, it's a destination to do that.
You can. And it's also a big planning thing, because they have this, you have to get in the queue, as the Brits say, mm-hmm. where online, and I heard the queue was getting to something like 30,000 people waiting to buy these tickets.
Wow, that's like Bozo.
And then they just, months of tickets, they snap up instantaneously.
Sounds a little bit like Hamilton.
A little like Hamilton.
All right, we're going to talk more about London, but I am excited to talk to you right after the break about a play, a musical that you and I have been anticipating for at least 2 years, possibly three, and it disappointed. That's going to be next WGN. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer with Johnny Olesinski of the New York Post. More after this. We are back, WGN Radio. Hannah Stanley with you tonight, filling in for Dave Plyer. I will be here until 5 a.m. Joining me right now from London, actually, is the New York Post's Johnny Olesinski. You might remember him as a theater writer for the Chicago Tribune, now an entertainment writer with the New York Post, but he hasn't left his theater roots behind. And that's why he's with me. You and I, Johnny, from the moment Frozen came out in the movie theaters, mm-hmm. we knew it was written to be someday translated to the stage. The way the songs were added in, it was so perfectly set to be put on live.
And look at the guy who wrote it, you know, Robert Lopez.
Robert Lopez.
He wrote it along with his wife, Kristen Anderson Lopez.
Yes.
But Robert Lopez wrote Avenue Q and, you know, won oodles of Tonys for that. And was
involved with Book of Mormon.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So he, you know, is a creature of Broadway, a creature of musicals. And they've been on the record of saying this. From the moment Frozen began, they also foresaw it as being a stage musical.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are today.
It did its pre-Broadway run in Denver to mixed reviews. That's not unusual because they're working things out. Truthfully, that's why I didn't go to Denver to see it, because I figured it'll come to Chicago and by then it will be great. It opened in New York. Is it great?
So I reviewed Frozen.
Yes.
And, you know, I am a fan. One, I'm a fan of Disney. How can you not be?
Right.
And I am a fan of Frozen. It's not my favorite Disney film. You know, I prefer the Howard Ashman, Alan Menken, Little Mermaids, Beauty and the Beast, that kind of thing, more. I think those are better. But I still thought it was strong and certainly magical, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, well, Disney has the money to make a spectacular experience out of this. And they coupon clipped, shall we say. The whole experience left me cold.
Ah.
It's a good 45 minutes longer than the film, and it's all padding.
Why?
It's all padding.
The film is an hour and a half, which is perfect for kids. So if you add in an intermission, poof, that's going to be an hour and 45 minutes. They could do it verbatim, couldn't they?
They could, and they instead... It was a little over 2 hours and 20, which, you know, gives them time to sell, you know, horribly
beverages,
priced drinks and,
yes,
and Elsa dolls and everything else. But even the kids didn't seem that enthusiastic. Part of it is the set is incredibly drab. It's as though, you know, there is a kind of a cloud over everything. So when Arendelle becomes frozen, right? You go, wait a minute, it was summer there before? That's what summer looks like? And you're trapped in this castle. And the tough thing about Frozen in general, as a stage property, so when you go to the movies, we're a little more forgiving, mm-hmm. especially with CGI. But on the stage, you want some human connection, right? And you want these moments of togetherness. Well, Elsa's in an ice palace far away.
Huh.
So she's all alone. Of course, Let It Go is amazing.
Sure, good. They couldn't have screwed that up.
No, and that's the one great moment. But it was quite a bit of a letdown, and especially knowing, again, if you're going to take your family to it, I think that the rule of family entertainment is, yes, the kids need to enjoy it, but the parents also do, because the kids do not have jobs to pay for it.
Right. And the parents are going to talk. If I love it, I'm going to go to the school pickup line and tell everybody they have to take their kids to go see it.
Exactly. Parent word of mouth is big, and parents like a night out, too. And that is, you know, if you can bring your kids along and enjoy something together, then, you know, is there anything better? No.
No.
So, but you don't want to be anguished at top dollar.
Now, tell me, you contacted me a week or so ago asking when the next time we could talk about London Theater was. Tell me what else you were so excited to talk about.
Well, let me tell you about a hilarious thing I did. So I thought it would be a bit campy because, you know, what show has been running there for, I believe, 30 years is
Cats?
Les Miserables.
Oh, Les Mis, of course.
Everybody's favorite, Les Miserables.
Yes.
I thought, you know, it's been running in London continuously. It hasn't been running continuously on Broadway. I never saw the original staging on Broadway. So after a show, I contacted a friend associated with the production and asked if I could stand in the back for the end of the show. So the last 10 minutes, you know, so we tiptoe in, quiet as mice, right when he starts singing Bring Him Home.
Oh.
And the actor playing Valjean right now, which I was in disbelief of this, is 33 years old.
What?
He's like not much older than I am. And can you imagine me with a beard and... singing Bring Him Home? I can't.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotion to that, a lot of maturity to that song.
But the actor, he's great. I'd seen him before in Kinky Boots. His name is Killian Donnelly, and he's a real star. He's just this great youthful presence that I'm not used to with that role, but along with the pathos you need. And the whole time I was in London, I said, wow, it's a very young scene, younger than Broadway right now, and it just felt more energetic. I'm not loving this Broadway season. Can you tell?
Yeah, you are not going to hide that from anybody, and I appreciate that. What are your thoughts for new openings for maybe Tony noms?
For Tony noms. So this is going to be an interesting year.
Mm-hmm.
So a show that is just opening now is Mean Girls, which I saw on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And Mean Girls opened Sunday night. And that show will probably get a Tony nomination, but it doesn't. That's another one that doesn't quite work. It's like Frozen in that all the best parts of the movie are there, and then everything else is a letdown.
Now, see, on Wednesdays we wear pink, but that's...
And you look so fetch when you do.
Now, that's a Tina Fey written movie. Was she involved with the production of the musical?
She was, very much. And the man that wrote the score...
Is her husband?
Is her husband, okay. Jeff Richmond.
Mm-hmm. Who has also written the theme to 30 Rock, the theme for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, all of her projects he's really pretty involved in. He was a piano player at Second City, by the way. Yeah. That's all they...
Because, you know, on 30 Rock, a lot of those, beyond the theme, he wrote all those, you know, for the girly show, he wrote all those songs,
yes,
that Jane Krakowski would sing, and they were really funny, and the score is just okay.
Yeah. That's a bummer, because that could have been really great. We're seeing so much of this where comedians are getting very into Broadway, specifically Steve Martin, being one with Edie Brickell, who is Paul Simon's wife, who's very good friends with Steve Martin. But other people, other mainstream actors and actresses are getting into Broadway.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the big moments of this season... coming up at the end of it is Denzel Washington in Iceman Cometh. And you could put Denzel Washington in anything. And the bus tours, they will come. You won't be able to get a ticket.
I want him to play me on Broadway. He has that kind of range. So
I mean, he'd find parts of you didn't know existed.
I know. I love Denzel. So, yes, that is something that I will try to go and see. When does that open? You said the end of the season?
End of April.
Okay.
And so he will, of course, be a big contender for Best Actor. I saw him on stage one time, and this is sort of a funny story. So when I was interning in New York, this is maybe 10 years ago, he was in a production of Fences with Viola Davis.
Oh, my goodness.
He was not really a star then.
Yeah.
So now, of course, she's on How to Get Away with Murder, mm-hmm, and she went into the movie Doubt after, and she's, you know, nominated for Oscars all the time. But it was this amazing production. Everyone wanted to see it, won all these Tonys. So I lined up at 3 in the morning outside the Court Theater on 47th Street on the block I now work. And I got behind 25 people at 3 in the morning who brought mattresses and sleeping bags and lawn chairs. And some nice ladies watched me while I took a nap until the box office opened.
Worth it?
It was worth it, but what a horrible decision. I went to sleep on the streets of New York in Midtown.
Ten years ago, it was not what it even is today. So this was not necessarily your wisest choice. Hopefully your mother's not listening. I know you need to get some rest, although it's actually daylight there. So you need to get up and get moving. Thank you.
I need to hit the red carpet.
You do. All right. Thank you again for being my Broadway reporter in absentia when I'm not able to be there myself, and for telling me all of the great stuff in London right now that we can expect hopefully in the next year or two, or if anybody's going to London. And of course, you can read Johnny and all of his great works also at, what is it, newyorkpost.com. They can buy the Post wherever finer newspapers are sold, and then also follow you on social media. I have to mention this. It's at Johnny OMG. I mention it because I came up with it. It's my favorite.
And you came up with it, and I bet you didn't think I was going to do it. And what did I do?
You did it.
I did it.
Forever, I get to claim that I came up with your Twitter handle. All right, Johnny Olesinski, New York Post entertainment writer. Thank you so much for your time, and enjoy London.
Thanks, Anna.
All right, have a good night.